Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
If you believe in magic, don't you bother to choose if it's jug band music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen. It'll start with a smile and won't wipe off your face no matter how you try. Your feet start tapping and you can't seem to find how you got there. Do you believe in magic?
Scooby-dooby-doo-bop.
Who believes in
magic, baby? I thought you were going to bust out the way you were nodding your head there. I thought you were going to give us a little bit of Scooby Dooby Doo.
Oh, no. I nearly burst out laughing. That's about it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. No point calling this round 10. This was magic round. Every single game was played at Suncorp Stadium. And yeah,
fresh off the plane, straight back to Townsville and straight into it. What an unbelievable weekend of footy being there. Just the atmosphere for all three days / nights were unbelievable. The crowd figures, you know, night one, 41,000, night two, 45,000, night three, 43,000. They had over 130,000 people total through the gates for all 3 days.
And I thought, just looking at it, it's to me, it's a perfect venue for that. I mean, that's just straight away.
It's so easy to get there. Like, it's just
50 grand stadiums. To me, that sort of perfect sort of knee size. And then it's Brisbane, obviously, so the weather's always good. Like you said, it's easy to get there. And just, I mean, secondly, you get to see, like, so many different teams for one day. Like, you were there for 3 days, but I'm for one day, if you know what I mean. Like, it's...
Yeah, right. We saw in our bay, we saw plenty of the same people all 3 days. So there was plenty of people there that got the three-day pass.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Well, why not? How often do you get to see all these teams play? Like, you know, you live in Townsville, you're a Cowboys supporter. You see Cowboys play a certain amount, but you don't see teams playing against other teams. So it's, why not if you're a huge fan and you can get there? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. It was just, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, the train basically pulls up.
Yeah.
Right in front of the 4X Brewery there, and you know, you walk down the concourse. It only takes you 5 minutes to walk back from the train station. If you're walking back to the city, it only took us 20 minutes to walk back to the city. Friday and Saturday nights, it was a gigantic lineup to get into the casino. But so they would have had an absolute field day. The lineup to get into anywhere along Caxton Street, especially the Caxton Hotel, the Caxton Hotel lineup after the game was gigantic.
Oh, I guarantee it would have been.
And it just didn't move. It didn't move. So by the time you would have got in there, you would have been sober.
Yeah, that makes sense. when you said you walked back into the city, you were able to walk. I'm just confirming that first before I move on.
Yeah, no, it might have been five steps forward, one step to the side. But
yeah,
we
okay.
definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We definitely got back to the city.
What other thoughts did you have then overall the game and everything on the weekend?
I mean, like I said, the weekend overall was just immaculate. I'm surprised that the ground held up as well as it did. I don't know how it looked on TV, but
the ground itself looked
like it held up really well compared to 2019. I think the Sunday games in 2019, the ground was looking very brown and very worn. But it looked, the ground looked immaculate. Going to Suncorp Stadium, I've been there a few times for Origin and a couple of season openers with the Cowboys and the Broncos and stuff. But being there in that bottom tier, we're basically right on the goal line at the southern end. Just magic.
For everybody, was it You'd have to go in Zach's all cost, but was it pretty affordable for the 3 days?
So extremely people know affordable.
Yeah,
beautiful. If you're going to go to all three games, like for the day, then obviously it's ridiculously great value for money.
Right.
But even if you're only going for one game each day, it's still really good value.
Oh wow, okay, that's really good to hear.
So they absolutely didn't price people out. I don't think. I'm not sure what the ticket prices would have been in the middle sections around the halfway line, 40 meter line. They probably would have been a little bit more expensive. But where we sat, you know, it was just the afternoon sun. Those afternoon games, the afternoon sun sort of beat down on you a little bit. But once it was gone, it was awesome.
Your spot going from your pictures looked pretty good. So that's, just looking at them.
Terrific. So I guess just before we sort of rumble into the games, you love going to Brisbane. It's a terrific place. The weather's unbelievable. But boy, you see some characters down there. Like, I don't think I saw, I've seen more now manicured mustaches and blokes with nose rings to laugh the lifetime. They're everywhere. So obviously that's the cool thing to do now. So that's what the kids are into these days. So, but it was good. A good spread of people, young and old, man, just fans of every team going to every, there was just a sprinkling of different colored jerseys every single day. Didn't matter whether they were playing or not.
There's always a South jersey, but
there was South jersey Bulldogs jerseys. It was everywhere. So I was a bit of a chameleon and sort of blended in with my surroundings. So Newcastle jersey Friday night, Cowboys jersey Saturday night, and Gold Coast jersey Sunday. So a little bit of a chameleon. But one thing that was extremely strange at the game was, how you hear the bell for the six again. So you hear the bell at the ground, and then there's this, you obviously don't hear it on TV, but you hear this very strange robotic sound that comes across the loudspeakers, and you hear
ruck infringement.
when it's a 10 meter penalty, it's
10 meters.
It is. When you first hear it, you're like, what the hell did I just hear? And over the weekend, you sort of get over it, but you still laughed at it every time. So tell me
then, because obviously you've been to Cowboys games as well. You don't hear that at Cowboys.
No, that's 100% not at Cowboys games up here.
Interesting.
100% not.
Interesting.
And I guess just one more last thing before we move on, like the entertainment at half times was good the first night, and then obviously progressively got worse as the days went on. So Sneaky Sound System was Friday night. They were terrific. They were really good. They got the crowd into it.
They were really good.
That's
what you want.
Saturday night, obviously the biggest night there. There was 45,000 plus people, total through the gates on Saturday night, and they had these jokers called the Stafford Brothers. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. They're just DJs. I don't know what they do. I can do that.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
They were kind of lame. And on Sunday it was, I guess, sort of a more of let's have a bit of a chilled atmosphere for the afternoon games. Busby Moreau, and you were telling me that they're from Rockhampton, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously a Queensland local sort of outfit, but they were very very low key and very sort of chilled music. So if you were in for a bit of a
music
10-minute snooze at halftime, you could of all the games, you could definitely do it. Absolutely, definitely.
Well, for me, and this is trampling a little bit on my start of the week, but for me, just watching the games, actually having commentators at the grounds live for every single game made a huge difference. I know that sounds weird, but
of course,
we haven't had it most of the year. And yeah, no, it was good. They follow the play. I mean, it sounds like trivial, but they follow the plays. They did, you know, it was brilliant. They were Fox League because they had so-called exclusive rights for most of the days anyway. So like especially Sunday, they had nine hours of live footy straight back to back to back to back to back.
Well, it would have been all day, but that's yeah. So Channel 9, because there was no Thursday night football, yeah. they aired the Cowboys Roosters game on Saturday night, so they still had their three games for free to wear viewers. But afterwards they had the Maddie, the Sunday Maddie Johns show up the northern end. So yeah, there was a live crowd for that. That looked pretty cool. But we're buggered by the end of the third game on Sunday night. Cactus. So it was time to get into some rest and some gambling afterwards, and then that was it.
So you still gambled. You still
absolutely.
That's not good. That's just throwing money away at the treasury.
Don't worry. When you got the Luck King Tai Young with you, it's not throwing money away.
Okay. I'll step on my dart of the week and we'll mention it probably throughout this entire week of footy, but just the everybody's talking about it, just the amount of send-offs.
And it's for all the good that was about the weekend, boy, there was a lot of. You don't want to call it bad, and you don't want to be, you know, negative about it, but there was a lot of negativity about the insane amount of sin binnings and send-offs.
The one thing I will say, and we'll touch on it during it, is they were consistent, which is very good because they're generally not consistent with it. I know we're going to touch it. We'll go through the games now, but they were very consistent with it. They probably
could have been more actually. I think there was a couple of times during the Panthers Titans game, the very last game on Sunday afternoon, where there was some dubious head high, especially late in the game when the game was basically over. But I think Penrith could have definitely had at least one more in the bin towards the end of that game. It got a bit lazy towards the end, and we can't send any of the golden children off the field for Penrith, especially late in the game when it was all over by the shouting. But
any children from the Penrith, but we'll talk about that during all the games. So the first game was the Tigers beating the Knights. Like, my God, that wouldn't have been good for you the first sort of game to see.
Oh my Lord. God,
what happened?
They were embarrassing. They were embarrassing.
Newcastle. They were. They were trying to work out what happened.
So our boy Tex Hoy got the run at fullback. You can't put it all on Caelan Ponga not being there. They have makeshift halves. Newcastle, you know, Phoenix Crossland and Kurt Mann. They're not equipped strike wise. They've got a good forward pack, but they're just not equipped back line and halves wise to capitalize on any sort of platform that their forwards are making for them. It was just that, yeah, they were just straight up embarrassing.
What I found in that game is, you're right, and this is probably just Newcastle in a hole, is that forward pack brilliant. I wouldn't say their entire back line's terrible, but the halves, yes, makeshift halves aren't the greatest. Why can they still not put Connor Watson in a six or a seven?
I have no idea. Clearly, they don't see him in that role anymore, but they play him at 13, and they almost play, you know, they basically playing him, especially during, playmaking series. He'll be a third receiver, or he'll be a ball playing forward, or, you know, playing in that regard. He must not be doing a lot of practice, whether it's kicking wise or a lot of first receiver practice, and I think they could absolutely use him in those sorts of roles, you know, interchange him back and forth with Kurt Mann. Like, they're just the kicking game was just plain Jane, just nothing, not a whole lot of creativity. I honestly don't know how they scored 18 points. I really don't.
No, I thought the same thing. Their creativity with this halves pairing is just isn't flat out non-existent. To be honest, they got their tries off the back of their forwards, and that's what they got a brilliant forward pack. They're going to have to.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jaden Brayley was terrific in this game. And look, let's not take anything away from West. All they can do is play who's in front of them. Got off to the hot start, right? You know, straight up. They scorched Newcastle up the middle. Like defensively, they're just it's just not happening for them at the moment. And you know, Adam O'Brien is one of those coaches that preaches defense. And it's just not happening at the moment.
I honestly think with the Tigers, and this is what I'm praising them for, is I like Moses and Boye at six because it gives more of Luke Brooks a free flowing game, and he ran nearly if not no he did he ran, ended up running the most meters 183 because Moses and Boye is a player that can control a game with Luke Brooks. He clearly can't control the game, and then he's sort of like your I'm trying to think of the Gold Coast halfback, like Ash Taylor, Luke Brooks. Whereas he's not a game manager. He's a free flying player like a Milford, even if you want to throw that in. Whereas Moses Mboy was able to sort of control the game, and Luke Brooks played a good game.
That's right. And moving Dewey to centre, look, you know, he's been. Well, they've obviously got to find a spot for him somewhere because they're not going to put him at fullback because Dane Laurie has been great.
He's brilliant.
So they have to put him somewhere, and that's he was really good as well. They're just.
Well, I was going to say with the Knights.
I think the heavy amount of possession as well. It sort of evened up by the end of the game, but for probably that first 50-55 minutes, the amount of possession that West had was alarming.
For Knights, that I had a look at both contracts. The both of those contracts, and this I'm talking about their halves, is their 6 and 7, especially Mitchell Pearce, is up at the end of it's up at they're both at 22, but the Newcastle have the option of looking into finishing him at the end of this year. I think they need to. I think they need to start all these teams. I'm surprised they haven't looked at a 7 with all the stuff going on and everything. Like a Sean Johnson, he's not getting.
I think they feel obliged to keep Mitchell there. He's dug them out of the dumps a little bit. Now
he's also pretty injury prone as well at the moment.
Because well, he has been lately, hasn't he? That's right. He has been lately.
Last couple of years, same. Yeah,
and so I mean, having Kurt Mann there at 5'8", he's that sort of Mr. Fix It there. But boy, he was a lot at first receiver in this game. So whether or not they don't really want to give too much to do with Phoenix Crossland, just in regards to like, but Phoenix Crossland was probably more your attacking kicker when they were actually in a decent attacking zone. Where they're inside the 30, inside the 20. But most of the kicking was done, especially out of trouble, was done by Kurt Mann. And
he's not a great kicker.
Not really. Like, he can only get better. But, you know, you put the shoe on the other foot. You know, both halves for Wes were great. Like you said, Moses and Boy, I think, just fits that team better playing at six. And yeah, again, like you said, Luke Brooks, he took on the line a lot and did it with effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he did. But that's because Moses Mboy can. Yeah, I just he's another guy, Moses Mboy
as well.
He's another guy, Moses Mboy to me is I don't get. He hasn't got a contract again for the Tigers. This is a guy that was playing for Queensland only 2 years ago. He could slot in anywhere for any team, really.
Yeah, anywhere for anyone.
I'm trying to give more praise to the Tigers because we haven't through the year and there's been nothing to praise them about. So, which is good. So good win for the Tigers. Next game would have been fun to see. I mean, if you're a Manly supporter, it was Manly trouncing the Broncos at home 50-6.
Oh my God. Like to see especially as the game went on, to see just the absolute demoralized look on Broncos fans, which there was many, 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 many of them there, even Excellent. Though obviously this was a supposedly a Manly home game. Manly were the most disadvantaged team over this whole weekend, because they're going in that they've had to take a home game away from Brookvale, take it to Suncorp with, you know, 30,000 rabid Broncos fans, you know, baying for blood after last week losing to the Cowboys, and just, you know, just wanting to sort of, I guess, get off, you know, get off on the right foot. And it just didn't happen. Like they Brisbane could not get anything right in the attacking 20 meter zone. Just Manly were terrific. They were just pouring on the pressure from the get go, and it just turned into an absolute destruction.
It was a destruction. We said Brisbane it every week.
Brisbane had 35% of possession in the first half.
We said it every week since he's been back, but I mean, you probably could see it firsthand. Tom Trbojevic has control of the Manly Seagulls.
He's everywhere.
It is. I'm dumbfounded, because I didn't think that he, as one person, could change that side, but he has. He really has. He was everywhere. You would have seen it firsthand, but on the screen, you just see him
bob up everywhere. Like he's the perfect complement to that team. He's got everybody. Yeah, especially he's given everyone there so much confidence. Look, they lost Kieran Foran early. Looks like he's gone for a couple of picks.
Broken hand. It looked like.
Yeah, broken
well,
hand.
His finger was like out like that. So
he's got a broken bone in his hand. So he's in a little bit of strife once again. Another one of those, I guess, aging halves that's very injury prone as of late. But they put, I think they put Josh Schuster in. I think he started in the second row, but they slotted him into 5'8", and he didn't really miss a beat.
No, he didn't, and he's probably going to play there. By the looks of it, next week. And again, he's the kind of player. This is Tom that everybody plays good of him. Daly plays confidence, so he played a good game. And I especially noticed, I concentrated more on his brother Jake. Jake plays so well off him, and that's probably just instinct.
That's given Jake a boost.
So they demoralized them. They beat them up. The only for me, I guess the only good thing in that side of the Broncos was Payne Haas again.
Payne Haas and Xavier Coates. Jermaine Asako was still good. You know, coming out of his own end, like that try that he scored where he just kept fighting and scrambling and crawled along the ground and then planted the ball over, you know, basically saying, yeah, he's not going to give up. But they were lucky to have that try on the board just before halftime. I think, sort of as the second half came along, basically the Broncos had back-to-back sin binnings. So, Jordan Rickey, this was sort of like there was four sin binnings in the first game between West and Newcastle, and I think that was very jarring, and you're like, okay, like what the hell is going on? And then when they continued in this game, you're just like, Jesus Christ, man, what the hell is happening? Like I listened to pretty like 95% of these games on the radio.
At the
stadium. The Tyson Gamble one was very innocuous. I think Tyson Gamble was put on report twice and sin bin, so he had himself a whale of a game.
That's him. But
his sin binning, it was where everybody started to lose it. It was just a little slap on the chops, and it was a shoulder tackle, and Ruben Garrick just played it up to the max with a big oh. And you could see they had Tyson Gamble up on the big screen, and you could see as he was walking off, he's just like, this is an effing joke. Yeah, the Jordan Ricci sin binning was a little bit of a forceful use of the head. I didn't really like, I didn't think there was a whole lot to it, but when you sort of look back at the replay, you're like, I think he knows what he's doing there. So, yeah, that then that just and
the points Tyson get able to me.
11 on 13, and like Manly just absolutely poured it on after that.
They took advantage. But Tyson Gibble, to me, has that in his game. I don't know. I'm not his biggest fan. I don't know what people are chasing after.
It looks like he's got a bit of mongrel in him, but it's you know, and a bit of, a bit of spark.
Sloppiness.
No, that's right. It's just it can, when you have games like this, especially when you're under the pump, he's almost, you know who he reminds me of? Josh Reynolds.
Yes. That's wow. That's exactly what we all said when we watched this game Friday night. We all said the same thing. He reminds me of Josh Reynolds.
Just loves the niggle.
Exactly who we all said.
He's an instigator.
That's it.
He's an instigator.
Yeah.
Look, good for he'd be one of those guys where you'd absolutely love him on your team and you love to hate him when you're playing him.
Yeah. I wonder, just before we move on from this game, did you see the number four for Manly, Morgan Harper? This is the other thing we pointed out. The guy that looks, well, basically we kept saying, you know, Hall & Oates, the dude, the John Oates from Hall & Oates? That's exactly who he looks like. The mustache and that big frizzy hair. My God, he looks like Hall & Oates. It was hilarious. I don't know. I've never seen someone, he's like 21, have that mustache and hairstyle. But anyway, that good on
him. That's right. If you hang around Brisbane, long enough, you get to see plenty of manicured mustaches around. So,
I don't know who has the time for that. I'm happy just to like shave the beard once a month. That's it. I don't know who has time to do all that bullshit.
If you go to a barber and... You know, you might be able to say, give me the old-timey 1920s look with the, you know, with the little twizzles at the end of your mustache. It's,
I haven't seen that much, but I will agree with the whole nose rings. That seems to be everywhere in guys. But anyway,
that was very, very strange.
Next game was the Raiders, literally pipping the Bulldogs, or at least hanging in there to beat the Bulldogs 20-18.
Hung on. The thing that sort of really stood out, especially in the first half, was just the Bulldogs' fifth tackle options. They're just terrible. I counted four times in that first half where they're kicking on the fourth tackle. Yeah. It was Avarillo and Brandon Wakeham that are in there. So you're telling me that Kyle Flanagan is not better than those two?
His kicking game alone for me is better than those two. That was
his kicking game is better than those two guys put together. Seems so strange to do that to Flanagan. Like the last thing you want is him with no confidence. And now he is not going to have any confidence after being hooked last week. And now being totally dropped from the side, he broke down a little bit in a press conference throughout this week, you know, when he was talking about his father and things like that. It's just that he is just going to have no confidence now.
We don't know that.
Not good for him.
Some people can go the other way. Some people can react differently and
hopefully it spurs him on.
But if you looked at that, like you said, that interview, I think it might go the other way. But they... The reason I don't get it, just on that, is the dude's on a 3-year contract.
Exactly.
You're not going to do what the Roosters do, and then if that happens to him, then that's unforgivable. But again, any team could take him at the moment.
They won't happen. They're waiting for Matt Burton. But Avarillo and Wakeham is just absolutely 100% not the answer for Canterbury. Just not the answer.
I tell you what, but Canberra lucky to hang in there after the send-off and the sin bin in that game.
I mean, like, wow, they were just – they hung on enough. They scored a couple of tries in a row, you know, took a while, you know, after Canterbury were coming back. They got a little bit better of possession, you know, towards the end of that game. And, you know, they had Curtis Scott and Sebastian Criss-Cross within 4 minutes of each other to sort of wrestle the ascendancy back away from Canterbury because they were coming for him. But once again, the sin binnings, we had a first send off.
Do you agree with Josh Papali'i's send off?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Well, send off.
No, it wasn't. It's Ricky, you wouldn't obviously heard Ricky's post game interview.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Basically, along the lines of, if this is how it's going to be, then I have to recruit different players because
exactly.
The players
he said, look,
the players that I've recruited, have this in this game. But basically saying they're taking the game away from what the game's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Is pretty much what he's saying.
We'll talk about that at length.
Yeah.
After we've gone through the games, but I didn't feel the need that it was a send offable offense. The send offs, some of these go wrong, and that's all it was. Yes, it's shoulder contact to the head. I understand, but it wasn't warranted a send off.
Has to be an underlying thing. Like you said, we'll talk about it later. But to me, there has to be some underlying thing of why they're doing this. Like they've consulted someone or something. But I'm sure we'll talk about it later. Next game was the Rabbitohs beating the Sharks 32-22. This kind of, again, I'm just going to keep referring to you being there. This kind of, it looked pretty good live. It looked good watching it. It looked pretty entertaining.
The Saturday games were the best. Of the three games. Like they were actually extremely competitive. Look, South's had all the running to start this game. All the running. Like they got off to the super hot start. You know, three tries within the first half hour before the Sharks could even get out of second gear.
Yeah,
like they looked, really crisp and clean and in attack, and Cronulla they just spluttered along and when they got into attacking zones, they just didn't look threatening at all.
No, there was only to me it was only one person that seemed threatening during that game, and that was Will Kennedy. Or looked like it from the TV. I don't know about you, but
he got the first try, but.
He seemed threatening just coming from the back up to that line, that attacking line. That's how it looked anyway. So
they were very flat. In attack lot of that first half, Cronulla. Yeah. Besides the fact too that the kicking game of South kept Cronulla buried in their own half, they were constantly coming out of their own 20. And just to have no quality field position at all for Cronulla, I guess for them to only be down 20-6 at halftime, for them to get into the game that like they were their own worst enemy. Cronulla 42% of possession, completing just above 60% for the first half, just their own worst enemy.
Yep, yeah, and that's how it sort of seemed. The other way on the flip side for the Rabbitohs, it's going to be good for Brisbane. Their go-forward was Adam Reynolds. Again, it's going to be really good for Brisbane. I mean, we haven't really talked about it last week, but he's obviously signed a three-year deal confirmed with Brisbane to be next year. So that's one of their marquee signings they've been chasing for ages at least. But you can see why. I mean...
There was plenty of interest in him.
And who cares about? I mean, at the end of the day, who cares about age? Now, he's 30 years old. Who cares? I'll refer this to everybody that cares about age. Look at one. If you follow the sport, look at one. Tom Brady, he's 45 and wins a Super Bowl. So who cares about age? Really?
No, that's right. Man, all you got to me, it's a different thing over there. Have a look at Drew Brees. He's 41.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Look at LeBron James.
That's
36
right.
This year? 36, 37? 36, yeah. I think. So, yeah. No, age is a number, and he's still a brilliant player. So, I'm surprised more teams weren't after him. I get the 3 years. I totally get that, or the trepidation of 4 years, I should say. But He was again, just his conversion alone. Like my God, he hits it sweetly. God, he was
as good as ever.
And God, he hits it sweetly. I think the thing that
Ricky had sort of, you know, that Ricky Stewart was sort of saying, he wasn't really referring to his own game, but this was one of the games, I think, you know, later on he'd sort of tried to refer
Ricky
to was, well, it was just. You take when all these things happen, you take the life out of the game. You're stopping the game. Everything's all stop start right now.
Well, even with
his game, right. and that's the thing. They're looking, not so much that you the players are looking for excuses for rest because they just need it. But yeah, a lot of these games are very stop start affairs, especially the ones with, you know, like bulks in binnings and things like that. But The Rabbitohs did enough to hang on. Cronulla looked much, much better in the second half, but just insurmountable, I guess, you know, sort of letting Souths get out to a fast start and just too much to do towards the end of the game for Cronulla to sort of try and mount a comeback. I think Andrew Fifita, you know, played his first game this year, so there was a very mixed reaction at the ground for when he came on. So, yeah, just South.
He played pretty
just,
good, but
South's just too good. Souths were too good.
Yeah, so there's promising. We don't even know their makeup of next year, but there were promising signs for Cronulla, to be completely honest. He played pretty good. We don't know who's going to be signed next year yet, but you're right. South was just too good. Yeah, wow. The next game, the Roosters beating the Cowboys. Yes, 30-16, but that scoreline, mate.
I don't think that reflected good and competitive. Once again.
This was near the best game for me because it was so competitive. And the crowd was electric.
Canberra was good. That was really good. Like yeah. that first game on Saturday afternoon was really good. This was uber competitive. Once again, the Cowboys just letting a team get out to too much of a lead, like they've done pretty much this whole season. They just I don't know what it is. They're just not coming out with enough intensity at the start, and they just cannot defend their own try line. You know, two tries in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that they're getting better. They're getting better with their sliding defense, but it's still not quite there yet. Because that was that's what it looked like.
And look, and scored in bunches too. Like, you know, the two tries that the Cowboys scored towards the end of the first half. You know, they went bang, Bowen scored, and then pretty much Drinkwater scored in the next set. The Cowboys, the very first set after halftime, a brilliant length of the field try for Scotty Drinkwater. And it's just like, holy moly, this game is on. And the crowd was, this is why
I like the game, because the crowd felt more electric in this game.
Everybody was into it. Like, I don't know how many deep I was that, but woo, man, I was loving that game.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I would think I was more invested in this game, or all the games, but more invested in this one because the crowd was pretty electric during this game. And he played good. I mean, on the back of that nice 2-year contract he got, and then he justified it just to show how good he is. I will talk
They took advantage of the one man being off. Tupanua got sent for 10 for a bit of a rubbish high tackle, and the Cowboys capitalized on it. And that's what you've got to do.
We're sort of pressed for time, but I wanted to talk about the makeup of the Cowboys next year. So I'll talk about that. Oh, just the makeup of where everybody sort of fits. But I quite like the way he plays. I've liked the way he plays, but that game justified to me is where he is and how he's going.
Absolutely, that's right. So we're not seeing. A future halves, you know, halves player for the Cowboys playing in first grade at the moment in Tom Dearden, and we are seeing what Scott Drinkwater can do, and it's very good. It's very good. Yeah. What drink water can do. On the other side, you know, that we're wearing the number seven in Clifford. We've said it before.
Your junior cowboy.
He's got no game awareness at all. Everything is a bomb. Everything is, I want to kick it as high as humanly possible instead of trying to find the corners and trying to find the grass and field position. It's insane. It's maddening.
Who's the one going to Newcastle?
He's going to Newcastle.
Good luck with Newcastle.
They can have him.
Yeah. I was going to say the other side. Just no game awareness. Well, I was going to say the other side. When you said the other side, I thought you meant the other side as in the Roosters, number seven.
Who was a former Cowboys. They're unbelievable.
He wasn't a Cowboys junior. He was a Brisbane junior, I should say. For an 18-year-old, I've never seen someone lightly control a game like that at 18. He can control a game.
With the amount of injuries that the Roosters have got, and they just keep chugging along, man. They just keep chugging along.
Tedesco was brilliant in that game. And then, you know, as good as Tom was or has been, Tedesco pretty much just justified his number one jersey for New South Wales from this game.
I honestly don't know what it would take to unseat Tedesco, barring injury. That's the only thing that can unseat Tedesco.
Where else could he play? Because you can see Tommy playing in a lot of positions.
Trbojevic has done it before for New South Wales. So
yeah. First Sunday game was the Eels beating the Warriors 34-18.
Hot start again. Some of these teams are just getting off to these unbelievably quick starts. Parramatta, they were on fire.
Isn't it glaringly obvious of how, when you say hot starts, because we've said this a lot of games, a lot of every week. That's because for some reason this year, there's so many tries being scored. It's getting to be one a game for a lot of players, not just one or two, a lot of players. It is absolutely ridiculous how many tries are getting scored. I don't know if it is because of the pace of the game. But it's a hot start, and they're scoring at will. I don't know what's going on. There's so many tries.
It was 24. They were beating the clock.
Yeah.
Parramatta. It was 24-0, and there was still like 21 minutes to go in the first half. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, look, the Warriors, obviously, then came back and won the second half. They did very, very well in the second half, but they were just too much. It was too much to
just,
sort of
call yeah, back just there. Blown off the park in the first pretty 20 much. Minutes. Yeah. That Parramatta had all the possession, all the running, all the field position. Yeah, for a lot of that first half, the Warriors were completing it under 50%. Now, they got better as the game went on. They only had 40% of possession throughout that first half. So you've only got that amount of possession and you're losing the ball a lot. They just gave themselves too much to do. By the time the end of the game came around, they looked much better in the second half. They brought Reece Walsh on late in the first half, to start the second half, Tuivasa-Sheck moved out to the wing, and they put Reece Walsh at fullback, that way for the rest of the game. He's very good.
That 18-year-old kid, speaking of his 18-year-old kids coming through from Brisbane, mind you, that's another player from Brisbane. You know, we talk about Cowboys.
Sure, I heard him say over the loudspeaker he's from Narang. I could be wrong on that.
He's a Sydney boy. He's born in Sydney. But what I'm saying is he was in that Broncos juniors is what I'm getting at. He was with the North Devils in the Intrust Super Cup. So, you know, and so was Sam Walker, not the Devils, but he was probably where his uncles are. But regardless, it's the same thing in North Queensland. Just they don't know how to hold on to their juniors for some weird reason, but he's good.
He was really good. Look, towards the end of that game too, I honestly don't know how the Warriors were still in this game. So it was with 15 minutes to go, it's 28-18. So the Warriors were just in the thick of it. Fought their way back. Yeah, the couple of tries, I think Murdoch Masilla, and then the guy who we're talking about, Reece Walsh, just after the 61st minute, and that they're in it up to their eyeballs. at 28-18.
Yeah.
And and it just funnily enough happens to be the coach's son that that seals it for Parramatta, Jacob Arthur. Got himself a nice little sort of just bust through. Boy, he's a tall thing. He got through the line. He sort of people fell off him, and he just reached out and sort of put the ball over. And you're like, holy moly! He looks like he stretched out about 5 meters.
Well, I didn't know much about him up until this game, to be completely honest. Obviously, because that was his first game.
And he's been killing it in the New South Wales Cup.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he doesn't. Weirdly enough, he looks nothing like his father, Brad Arthur. Like, not even close, which is really weird. He doesn't look like the height. He doesn't look even the face. He just doesn't look like him, which is... Anyway, yeah. What do you reckon? Do you see them... You know, a lot of us were talking on Friday night as the whole two-horse race of Penrith and Melbourne. What do you think of Para? Are they there, or are they just on that 1B, like that second tier?
They're definitely that 1B type side. But look, you know, they're definitely in there with a chance. Look, we said it last year, and it rang true. They Parramatta to start off last year were the best club for the first 10 to 12 rounds. Yep. Absolutely, were the best club, and then they fell away. This year, I think they're looking a lot more consistent. They're not going, you know, they're obviously playing, you know, really good football and a good attacking, flashy football too. I think it's just being buried a lot underneath what Penrith are doing at the moment.
Yeah, so that's fair.
They are flying under the radar, so to speak. But they're thereabouts, Parramatta. I think they're not so much a smoky, but look, they should on the way that they're playing at the moment, they should be there at the pointy end of the season.
Those are the top three at the moment. I don't see those three changing. That's pretty much to me, honestly, for the rest of the year, which isn't the greatest thing to say, but I don't think.
No.
I mean, we're moving on to the Storm and the Dragons, and the Storm, you know, again, another big win for the Storm, 44-18 over the Dragons. Could have been more if we have a frigging kicker again. You know, it would have been over 50 if we know how to have a kicker. I want to convert. Cameron Smith is just, actually, before you say anything about this game, Cameron Smith just literally today joined the coaching staff. God, I hope it's for kicking. He's joined the Storm coaching staff for the rest of the year. So, God, I hope it's for our kicking, because we need it.
Our second love for the league in your boy Tyson Smoothie kicking goals. So
why are we silly for names? Who cares? I love names. Tyson Smoothie, yes, he was a kicker and did good because I mean Tyson Smoothie. Sorry, I can't get over that. Yeah, 21-year-old Tyson Smoothie. He did good for a little bit, and then he sort of got hooked and Nico Hines tried to kick. I mean, I'm so glad. Munster's not kicking. That is the worst style I mean, he wasn't playing this game, obviously, but that is the worst style I've ever seen.
Melbourne were missing some big guns for this game. No Harry Grant, no Brandon Smith, no Cameron Munster. They had no Pappenhausen for a lot of that. What did you think of the Fuimono hit on Pappenhausen? Did that deserve a send-off? I think it more came from Pappenhausen just lying motionless on the ground rather than anything else.
I'll put it that for me, it was worse than other send-offs this weekend. That's how I was going to put it.
That was pretty bad.
So if I'm going off the other ones, then yes. It was.
The thing was that Pappenhausen's not looking. Yeah, he's passing, and then he's come in with a little bit of a stiff arm, and it's just dropped him like a sack.
It still doesn't matter. It's still is.
No, that's what I mean.
I agree. He's not looking, regardless.
If he's hit the ball up and he's coming at you face on, and they hit you from, you know, they hit you high from there. But this was he's got his head turned, and just dropped him right in the side of the head, and it didn't look good on the ground at all. Just laying motionless. There on the ground, it's like, oh dear, this is not good. They cleared him. Listening to these games on the radio, they cleared him pretty quickly of any other damage. Just a very, very heavy concussion.
Yeah. No, he wasn't coming back. I mean,
when he was lying motionless on the ground, his afternoon was over.
For both sides, for me, that it wasn't, you know, regardless of the scoreline, it was a pretty sloppy sort of game. Both completion rates were under 80% in this game. Regardless of the send-off and then the sin bin, I mean, they're going to be pretty decimated next week anyway, the Dragons, or this week coming, I should say.
And the most absurd thing about that is that with what – this is the one that really sort of has irked me for this weekend. The supposed hip drop by Josh Maguire is looking like it's going to rub him out for 5 weeks. And I get it. It's like the Latrell Mitchell situation. He's got loading. I get it. He's a serial offender. But for him to be rubbed out for 5 weeks – for a BS, capital B, capital S, and multiple exclamation points here, here, and here, and more over here, was ridiculous. Listening to it they had no idea
what
the penalty was for and why he got binned.
Do you know why?
Because there was nothing there. He didn't deserve to get binned. It's not a hip drop tackle or anything. It was ridiculous.
We as in Andrew Voss and I had no idea why he called it. Yeah, he's sitting Andrew Voss blowing up.
It was insane.
He had no idea. I had no idea what was going on. But
They showed it on the replay a couple of times, and it's like, I still don't know what that's for.
I agree. Absolutely
absurd it was. And that really took St. George out of the game
It did. It really did. That was very early in that game, but they're very, it was that sin bin and then the send off, and then Melbourne capitalised in the space of that 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah, right. You know, they started getting their tries
Melbourne
from there.
Melbourne right in the second half.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they were pretty decimated, I guess, to the Dragons. But, oh my God. I'm going to heap praise on Bellamy. Like that Nico Hines, you know, this another fullback that no one heard about that had a brilliant, brilliant game. You know, he broke the line a lot. He got the most run meters. God damn. Like, just, it's just amazing.
He's going to be gone next year. Someone's going to get him.
No, he won't. But
he's not sitting behind Pappenhausen. That's not happening. He's gone next year.
But We could slot him. He's got a build where he can slot in the center. He looks like a fullback. I'm not disputing that.
He's wasted. If you put him on the wing at center, he's wasted.
Well, the one team that wants him desperately that I kept reading was Brisbane.
It's Brisbane Broncos.
And the thing that
gives you the shits about that, like, you know, that there's not so much rumors, but there's articles and that getting out there. What's that say? Brisbane are chasing him hard. Say, oh, sorry, Jermaine Asako, but you've represented your country at the number one, but we don't want you.
Yeah,
And he's been one of their better players.
No, unless he finds a few
rocks in amongst the diamonds this year.
Jermaine Asako could play at other positions, but. That's probably that, I think.
Wing?
But, yeah, and center. He could play center too if Stags moves into 5'8", like it's going to happen, apparently going to happen. You're right. I'll have to send it to you, but I remember seeing, it was just a comment in Fox League, like, and I think it was about him, just how it's like all like the seven steps of Melbourne and basically, you know, step one, finding a reject, each player's step one, multiple clubs, step two, going to Melbourne from the scrap heap, step three, Bellamy building him into step superstar, step four, signing an overinflated contract, and then step five, then going back in purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Leaving the club and then nobody hears from him again.
It happens a lot. The most glaringly obvious, although he wasn't too bad, was Adam Blair.
Oh yeah, that was a big one. That one, his contract with the Tigers was horrible.
It's just amazing what Bellamy. And this is the other argument. We weren't having an argument. This is actually what we were all saying. Like Craig Bellamy is the best coach ever in NRL. I can't not
see. I very much think he's going to supersede what Wayne Bennett did with the Broncos in those early days.
I think he close to has, if not. I agree, they're a 1A, 1B, or you could go either way, which one of them, depending on which one you're a fan of. But it's what he can do with it's not so much the titles and everything like that. It's just what he can do with the players. He's turned players into millionaires.
That's right. He gets the best out of them.
Next game was probably the one you don't want to talk about, but there's another Queensland team, unfortunately going down 48-12 from the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers are the Panthers. I mean, what do you say?
It's the Nathan Cleary show.
Yeah. This is the final game. Sorry, everybody, I should have said that. Nathan Cleary is, God damn. I'm glad he's a New South Welshman because he is clearly, and I haven't looked at it lately, I think he's clearly Dally M, like clear Dally M.
They said that in a post-game interview with him. He's just like, oh, well, Leo, we'll let that take care of itself. You know, right now he's focused on, playing for Penrith, blah, blah, blah. But you'd think he'd have to have one eye into the future.
Of course he does. Because there's not so much, it's what everybody wants in halfbacks to do. It's not that he's got a brilliant kicking game, and he has a brilliant kicking game. It's that he attacks the line, and he attacks it brilliantly.
He's a controlling halfback too, and he allows Jerome Luai to do the things that he does. You know, attacking, and that's the thing. See, Nathan Cleary attacked the line because he knew he could, and you know why Nathan Cleary attacked the line a lot during this game. The Gold Coast line speed defensively was disgusting.
Yeah.
There was no effort there at all. It was like they'd been out Friday and Saturday night partying for Magic Round, and then all of a sudden it gets to their game, which is the last game of the round. They're like, oh, crap, we've got to go there and play now. You'd think Justin Holbrook would have been Bud Kilmer yelling at him at halftime. Do you know what I mean? In Varsity Blues. Oh, bless, that was fun. It was unbelievable. They were.
Oh, no, they spat everywhere.
Hope it was fun. Was it fun?
Oh my god.
They had no effort. They didn't look like they wanted to be there at all. It was unbelievable that just the lack of urgency. That Penrith were just it's they gone out there. I can't remember who we said this about last week. I think it might have been Cronulla. They just look like they're just like defeat is inevitable. So what the hell are we doing here?
Just because you mentioned Jerome Luai, and you know he's touted as a fringe New South Wales player and all that sort of jargon. Do you think? And I think this is glaringly obvious. I think this is already a yes. But if he was in another team, would he be that good? I don't think he's great anyway.
He is 100% ching, cashing in on the form of Nathan Cleary.
Because he looks good, but he looks good because he's next to Nathan Cleary. And Nathan Cleary does. Nathan Cleary plays both of those positions. It's absolutely insane what he can do and what the workload he gets through.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The people say, oh, Luai should be in there. But then I was saying, if he's going to be in there, that's only because Cleary's going to be there. Because I can't see what he can do if there's no Cleary. I can't see it. I can't envision it. No, I just, it's.
That's mean, yeah. He is totally cashing in on. And look, and he is a good running 5'8". Don't want to take anything away from him. He is a very good running 5'8".
Yeah.
If he is somewhere where he has to do a lot more of the primary first receiver or the primary attacking playmaker, I think whether or not he runs out of ideas or whether or not he can be, you know, that constant threat where everybody is, you know, shit scared of Nathan Cleary, and that allows Luai to be free and clear.
It's not even just. I mean, as brilliant as Nathan Cleary was, like it's just their 1-13. There's no chink. There literally is no chink in that armor. Really, all of them could technically, if they were able to, most of them could play for New South Wales. That's how good they are going at the moment. Really, really. I mean, you could slot. Don't get me wrong. There's other players that should be in, but really, they all could. And Corrissa had another good game. I mean, there's New Zealanders in this, but don't get me wrong. But Fisher Harris had a 46 minutes and nearly did 200 meters. Like, it's just, it's. They've got
two big boppers up front. Yeah, Moses Leota and James Fisher Harris. Like, they're a good 1-2 punch up front. You know, Isaiah Yeo. Liam Martin, like they've got, yeah, if they're not stars, they're as solid as a rock.
Fisher Harris looks like to me, I swear I'd hate to run into him any night just because I feel like he would just kill me because just from his look.
He would rip your arms off and beat you to death with him.
He's scary. He's one scary looking human being. We'll move on to, I've already done my studs and duds of the week. I mean, as your stud of the week, I think we're just tripping on it all at the moment, aren't we?
That's right. Look, we'll buy into the rugby league world absolutely fawning all over Nathan Cleary and just drinking in all of Nathan Cleary's juice at the moment. It's hard to not praise him. Like he's just in an absolutely rich vein of form at the moment.
He got 28 points in that game.
That was ridiculous. That's, I mean, a hat trick, 8 for 8 kicking,
yeah, another good
three
kicker.
Try assists, 4 line break assists. Yeah. That's 9 tackle busts. Like he was unbelievable.
He's 200 meters for a halfback, which is unheard of. Nah. He did more than Toto, which is definitely unheard of.
That is unheard of. And they make the tough meters coming out of their own end not look so tough.
No,
that's exactly. I mean. Whereas the Gold Coast, to me, it just seems like they totally conceded defeat after the first 10 minutes, and even after Leota got binned, they totally wasted that opportunity to try and capitalize on the one man down advantage. I'm a little bit down on. I love Jamal Fogarty. I think he's a solid look. He's captain material. You could see out there, and that's the good thing about being at the ground. You could see how animated he is, and you could see where he bobs up and he picks his spots. Yeah. And you can tell he's a leader. Absolutely tell he's a leader. But Tanner Boyd looks like he's got all the skills and everything in the world, but he needs to hit the gym for leg day. His kicking game is, even when it looks like he's absolutely giving it his all and the ball goes nowhere.
Yeah, okay.
That's what they needed Sunday night.
He's only 86 kilos, so he's not the biggest man in the world. No, I was gonna
you can still have have a decent boot on you, but
just like you said, being live at the games, you can see all that off ball stuff that you don't sort of see in live games, and that, which is like what Cameron Smith used to do. He's like, you never seen all the off ball stuff he did, basically, or off camera stuff, so to speak.
Well, if you're only just watching it on TV.
Now, dud of the week for both of us, and we'll touch on a little bit, is the glaringly. You might as well say overuse of the penalty count / ref crackdown / sin binning.
14 sin bins, 3 send-offs. And a list of charges going to the, either the match review committee or going to the judiciary that's extremely long. Something like 24.
Yeah, I think you didn't.
I posted it up today. There's going to be some significant time lost by players. No more, I guess, from my side of it, no more important than Josh Papali for a Queensland standpoint. Looks like he's going to get rubbed out for 3 games, so he's gone. So if you're into betting, and boy, did I do plenty of that over the weekend too. Woo!
Did you come up or not?
No good at all. But, yeah, you should hammer the overs. You should take the points for New South Wales. New South, I've already looked into this. New South Wales are paying $1.67 and only a 3.5-point favourite. I would be smashing that margin at the moment because Queensland are going to have no go forward. They've lost Lindsay Collins and now they've lost Josh Papali for game one. So their starting props are going to be Christian Welch and Mo Fotowaker, and then they're going to have a bunch of second rowers.
Wow. Yeah, no, I'm looking at the line now. Yeah, it's actually moved up to 5.5. Ooh, 5.5.
Even 5.5, who cares?
At $2.01.
Give Queensland 13.5. It's not going to matter. They're going to get destroyed.
5.5 at $2.01. Thank you. I'll take that right now.
Yeah, they are going to get destroyed. Anyway, that's sort of circling around.
The thing I wanted to bring up about it is they not only broke their the record of the most sin bin / send-offs ever, they doubled the record.
Yeah, and that's lunacy. Why wait? And this is the common theme of all this. You know, if you watch other rugby league shows and listen to other rugby league podcasts and media and stuff like that, but this is the overwhelming part of it. Why make a focal point of it this round? It makes no sense. Like watching, the big league rap and other shows that are after
360 after just went to town on it. Just quietly, 360 went to town on the heated debate.
They should have, because it was lunacy. Like the first game had four sin bins, and it's like, what the hell did I just watch? And then when there's another four in the second game on Friday night, it's like I don't know what this is and where this has come from. It's got player complaints, it's got commentator complaints, media complaints. It just to me, my opinion on it is reap what you sow. This is the game that you wanted. Fast, 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 fast. Fatigue, fast. This is what we want. The little men coming back in.
Yeah.
This is you want less interchanges. You want fatigue. And this is I don't care what anybody says. This is a 100% direct result of it, because you make mistakes under fatigue.
That's exactly right. Everybody does.
It's crazy. Like you, they're trying to rub out contact to the head. You're never going to do that. You're never going to do it.
No, not in this game. No, not in this game. Not in any physical contact game. No, you wouldn't.
It's a collision sport. It's like the NFL were trying to take out hits with the crown of the helmet. You're never going to get rid of it, because the helmet is the helmet is too big. It's always going to get in your way. This, if you change your tackle technique and then you start grabbing around the hips, I think this was James Graham that actually brought up this point. If you start tackling low, tackling around the hips, tackling around the legs, you're putting yourself as the tackler in danger, because you see plenty of guys that cop hips and cop thighs to the head and then drop like a sack of potatoes as well. So they're putting themselves at danger a little bit. Now, I don't want to piggyback up or, off somebody else's point, but he does have a point there. But you can't, if that's the way that you're going to go, to take away the top of the body tackle, this is a totally different sport. And Ben Hunt come up with it with a comment on it that was plastered all over Facebook. This is not effing touch football.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And I think a few people use this as a linchpin. My test of it is the send-offs are a different ball game. Well, they probably aren't, but let's look at the 10-minute ones, because that was the most, there was a fair bit of that. Would all those ones that happened, all those have be sent off for 10 minutes in a grand final?
And that's where it's going to come into it.
So
it's all well and good now in these games.
That's right.
To, willy-nilly send people off and everything like that. When it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to teams' seasons being on the line in the 4 weeks in September and the first Sunday in October, what happens then?
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. If you're not going to do it in those games, then don't do it in these games.
Exactly.
Because these are big games as well for a lot of these players.
Well, they just make they try and make it to me. They just try and ham it up and say, oh, the regular season doesn't count. So everything counts.
100% accounts.
Everything counts.
100% accounts.
What I sort of meant by, reap what you sow is it's all well and good to have state of origin and international game speed for three games. Okay, so for an Origin series or a Test series, okay?
That'll be the linchpin one.
Teams cannot keep this up for 24 games in a year. You just cannot do it. It is impossible.
That'll be an interesting one. If all this crackdown happens in the Origin, my God, there will be massive blowback.
Exactly.
Because
what's the difference?
34, but
there should be no difference.
No, I get it. Because there's your 34 best players.
We can't take away from our spectacle. We can't take away from State of Origin.
90%.
That's the biggest thing in the game.
90%, your 34 best players, or thereabouts in the NRL, close to it. I mean, obviously there's some other international players. You're not gonna have them off and then 10 minutes and then get them fighting charges. There's no way that's gonna happen. And you're right, that's exactly right. So why you could do it in this one? Why can you do it into other players? You're not real. Yeah, it's some of it I got. I will say that out of all of them, some of it I got. Not the send offs.
Sort of. But there was definitely instances there where a send off was warranted, but to have. Or not a send off, but being sent to the bin. Yeah. And I think they've been screaming out for a couple of years to bring back five in the bin. Maybe for some of these minor indiscretions, a little love tap on the face, or there's crusher tackles, where people are being put on report for, not so much being put in the bin for. One of them was, I think it was the Cody Walker. I can't remember who was making the tackle. Might have been Chad Townsend. And he totally just brushed over the top of him. And Cody Walker sort of, got up clutching his neck, but got up and played the ball. And then they come back like four tackles later and blew a penalty. And it's just like, no, you can't do that. You've missed it on the run. Too bad. Put him on report later. You simply cannot do that. To me, and that also makes, we all know that penalties are a premium in the game for gaining momentum. They've tried to accentuate that with ruck infringement and 10 meters. So there's six agains. Now it's going to be sitting people down for 10 minutes, which is going to make even more people, more players, roll around on the ground. It's going to turn into soccer. You'll get the tiniest little brush across the face. You'll get the tiniest little bit of neck movement in a tackle.
We're not in that
people
sport.
Are going to be rolling around like they've been shot from Bay 340 by a sniper.
They need to look at.
But that's what's going to happen because they know that it's a premium, and they know if they roll around on the ground writhing in pain, that it could get somebody sent for 10, and it's like, oh, bingo, let's go. Now it's 13 on 12.
No, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day,
it's bad enough as it is.
They keep looking at the NFL and saying, and that seems to be the way they're sort of trending, and not so much this stuff we're talking about, but in terms of everything they're doing. So look at the NFL. That's still a high-contact sport, and they've really, really cleaned up all those headshots. They really have cleaned up those headshots. It still happens, but it
still happens.
Up a
like
lot
I said,
there.
Leading with the crown of the helmet, things like that. Sometimes it happens because you simply can't get the helmet out of the way trying
That's
to make
exactly
tackles.
Right.
But they're trying to stop that, using that, I guess, as a you and your body and the helmet as a missile.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's
and
exactly right.
And it comes down
right.
to technique.
But it's still,
some
it's
people,
still an
some
aggressive
people need to
sport.
Change their technique, and some people don't.
Yeah. It's still an aggressive sport at the end of the day. There's huge high contact in that sport. So
that's right. And when you're trying to have maximum aggression and maximum effort, but when you're under fatigue, things go wrong.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
make mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It
and that's
just
the
happens.
Problem. Well, that will do it for this one Magic Round Don't forget, we'll might as well start with this straight away. Obviously, we have all our podcasts on Twitter, which is at Final Play Pod, and Facebook Final Play Podcast, but also Eureka, which is gimco.com.au, who have a decent NRL break.
Yeah, NFL break still sitting up there at the moment. It's been up there for about a week or so. Still 19 spots left, everybody, so get amongst it. It's pretty good value. And I know we're in the off season of the NFL, so but yeah, no, they're always good. Dom does a good job of doing
the
that.
Values there. The value is there. If good anything,
products
the value too.
Like, yeah,
there.
Don't get it. Good, yeah. Good products.
Yeah.
A lot of 2020 stuff in it. It's good. So yeah, if you're into trading cards, yeah, get amongst that. It's a decent little break there. It's been sitting there for a while. So last I checked, which was a couple of hours ago while I was at the airport, there were still 19 spots to go. So get amongst it, everybody. I might even share it again up on the page. And I'll share the link that'll take you directly to gimco.com.au and directly to the break page so you can secure your spot now. Don't miss out.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, that will do it. My name's Jason. Can I hear your robot voice again, Smith?
Miles. Ruck infringement plum signing off.
Ruck infringement, I love it.
It was just you didn't know what the hell that was over the speakers. It's just like, where did that come from? Very weird. But you know, overall, the Magic Round concept is, I think, something that they could have done years ago. Like, it's been happening in the Super League for a long time now. I think Toby Rudolph for the Sharks, he wants it like three times a year. You take away the festivities of it. You can't do that. It's got to be once a year. They have come out and said that 2022.
That's right.
It's going to be in Brisbane again, so I'll definitely be getting my time off ready. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure the draw come out in December this year. Last year for this year. So you can get your time off in for it. I'm all in for it, man. That is just it's just the best weekend.
I am definitely doing it next year.
It's gonna be in Brisbane again. So I hope it doesn't turn into what the Nines did, where they had it for a couple of years in Auckland, and then I think it was the third year
it needs to
in
be
Auckland
in Brisbane.
And nobody turned up. So
it
they
needs
took
to
it away.
Be in Brisbane. Brisbane is
look,
the perfect
I think,
spot.
I think they could turn this into a bidding process. Mm. I really think they could. So you only sign up a stadium for 2 years and go, right, and then, okay, so let's have a bidding process. Let's see if Sydney wants to take it on, obviously have everything at Stadium Australia. I don't know what you would do if you were going to have it in Melbourne. What's the capacity?
You know, another,
of Haney Park,
in, yeah, Haney Park? I don't know. I think it's just it's just that perfect stadium, Suncorp. Not even just Brisbane. It's just that perfect stadium.
Share it around, man. Share it around.
Yeah. Where? I didn't mind this.
Definitely do it at Eden Park in Auckland. Definitely.
Yeah.
Stadium up
sure.
here, is, I think, is too small. 26,000, 27,000. I think that's too small.
The other
Amy
one.
Amy Park. What's Amy Park? 30?
Yeah.
I mean, you could maybe get away with doing it there.
The other one you could do is possibly where they did the Nines, the Bankwest Stadium. That's about 40 grand.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bankwest.
You could, if you knew you were going to sell it out, you could do that. What's the stadium in Melbourne, the closed one?
Marvel,
that'd be awesome. And just a Marvel weekend, Marvel God, Magic.
That's the thing, you can make it a Marvel inspired jerseys like they did before. Like you could go to town on that.
You tie it in with a movie, yeah, that'd be brilliant. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, have a good week, everyone.
So, yeah, I believe in magic.
Scooby-dooby-dooby-doo.